If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Bully Ray and I talk about NXT from last night, week number two from NXT, and the last week before they go head-to-head with AEW. Speaking of AEW, we get into what we can expect for next week. And which are you going to watch first? Is it going to be AEW or NXT? And are there fans that are just going to watch one brand over the other? Plus, we also get into the new commentators for the shows in the WWE. Raw, SmackDown, different teams for both shows. We get into both those teams on today's episode of the Busted Open Podcast. It's Happy Land in the world of pro wrestling.
Oh, yeah. You know, we're going to do our thing over here on Wednesday nights while you do your thing over there on Wednesday nights. And we're all going to be happy and nobody's going to get in each other's way. And I won't call you bad names and you don't call me bad names. And we won't do uninterrupted commercials or whatever the hell it is. Limited commercial breaks. It's not a war, Dave. Dave, drink that Kool-Aid. Drink it up.
Listen, I'd love to think that there is no war, that this is Happy Land, and you know what? NXT would start at 8 p.m. and AEW would start at 10, so you never have to think about which show you're going to watch live. But you know what? Come on now. At least we know on Wednesdays it's a war, and it's going to be a battle where the winners, whether it's AEW or NXT, it's always going to be the fans at the end of the day.
Oh, absolutely. And this is going to be fun. But I'm getting a chuckle out of the whole thing as little things happen along the way. I mean, obviously, the one thing that I'll always remember is when Jericho was on a couple of, like 6 months ago, whatever he said.
A while ago.
Yeah, when he said, oh, no, this is not a war. The first thing he said was, yeah, this is going to be a war. And then last time he was on, he's like, no, this is not a war. Of course it is. Everything points to full-blown war. Cody, writing in his very eloquently written note that we talked about yesterday, talking about the multi-billion dollar company waiting on the other side of the hill. And then last night, NXT talking about their debut, their first two-hour show next week on USA will have limited commercial interruption. All of that points in the direction of competition and full-blown head-to-head war amongst the two companies.
And it's so funny because AEW, and we've talked about this before, AEW and NXT are very, very similar in the way that they have that kind of like, hey, it's us against everyone else. Because this isn't like AEW going up against Monday Night Raw. This is not AEW going up against SmackDown. Theoretically, obviously, NXT is underneath the WWE umbrella. But it almost feels like NXT's always been the odd man out when it came to the world of the WWE. So when you look at AEW and NXT, it is kind of like a championship fight between two fighters that have a similar style.
It really is. And you hit the nail on the head when you said similar style. The fan base of NXT and AEW is the exact same person, exact same demographic, exact type of fan who likes a certain style. The AEW has gone on record with hashtag I'm with AEW. If you're with AEW, that means you're on AEW's team. If you're on AEW's team, that means you have to support AEW. You can't be like Tommy Dreamer and like every team in the league. This way, when one of them makes the World Series, you could say, I was a fan from day one. You hate that about him, don't you, Dave?
Oh, he's a fraud.
Fraud. Complete fraud. But, like, if you're with AEW, that's basically what – from the first day that Cody and the Bucks decided to put together All In, to them leaving Ring of Honor, to them taking a large portion of the Ring of Honor fan base with them to over to AEW, they've basically been the Pied Piper and have had all of the fans follow them. And if the fans are following, they're with AEW. I think that hashtag tells you everything you need to know.
Well, let me ask you this, and maybe it's not a question for you or I, but maybe it's a question for the Busted Open Nation. And I think maybe we've seen some of the answers as we've gotten closer to what we're going to see next week, Bully. But when you look at this AEW, WWE, AEW, NXT fight, you brought up Tommy Dreamer and how Tommy Dreamer likes every team in the league. And in the world in the NFL, his favorite team is the stadium that he's going to that week. That's a fraudulent fan. But when you look at this world of pro wrestling, do you need to pick a side? Obviously, in the world of sports, you need to pick a team. At least I feel that way. And I'm wondering if there's fans that feel like you need to pick a side. You either have to be a WWE fan or an AEW fan. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't watch the other product, but I'm wondering if there's fans out there that say, you know what? You know what, Dave? You are a fraud because you're not picking a side. I'm wondering if there's fans that feel that way.
There might be fans that feel that way, but I don't know why they would. You don't have to be an NXT fan and you don't have to be an AEW fan. What you should want to be is a pro wrestling fan. It's really simple. There's no reason why you have to pick one company over the other. But these two companies are positioning themselves in a way that they're almost forcing you to make a choice. When Cody puts in that letter, I'm with AEW, he's encouraging everybody to go on social media and use that hashtag. He's encouraging people to say, this is the side that I'm on. And it's weird because it seems like the people that you would think weren't encouraging competition, because Cody and the Bucks and AEW seems like happy land, right? Everybody gets along. It's all inclusive. You know, it's a wonderful place to be, right?
Yep.
Isn't that the way they come across perception wise?
Yes.
And they are very much like that. The perception is very much reality because from what I understand, it's been a very pleasant place so far. But with that, I'm with AEW. It's basically laying down the gauntlet and saying, if you're a fan and you're reading this, you declare that you're with AEW. And if you're with AEW, you're basically not watching anything else. Now, I'm not trying to put words in anybody's mouth, but is that the way you take it?
Listen, Bully, what did you say right at the start of the show?
It's not a war.
But it is a war.
Damn right it is.
So if it's a war between companies, then I guess in a lot of ways, it's a war between the hardcore fans. You know, we read that letter that's on Cody Rhodes' account. And in the last paragraph, and Alex Metz mentioned that the two last paragraphs in that letter were the most significant. But I'm just going to read the last paragraph from that letter. And the last paragraph says this: I'm a bit nervous and I'm a little scared too. But I'm saddling up in D.C. anyway, along with the best partners and wrestlers on the planet. I'm with AEW because AEW is for everybody, and I hope everybody tunes in and gives us a chance to shine for you. And what's significant in that paragraph is that he's saying, hey, I'm nervous and I'm scared. Because let's face it, Bully, let's say that this is a full-on war and NXT was to fail and lose this war. The WWE's not losing the war. It's just a small part of the WWE, which is NXT. AEW, this is it, man. So if let's just say NXT, and I'm not saying that this would happen or if this could happen, but let's say after a year, AEW's really beating their ass in the ratings and they decide, you know what? We're not going to have NXT on the USA cable network anymore. Is that a loss? Absolutely. Will the WWE still roll on? Absolutely. But if AEW was to lose this war, that's it. End of story. Do you agree with that?
Of course. But I don't think AEW is going to go away anytime soon. There's been too much of an investment made in it. Let's just take your scenario in reverse. Let's say for 1 year from starting next Wednesday and 1 year from then, hypothetical situation, NXT is definitively beating AEW in the ratings for a year. AEW is still not going to go away because I believe Tony Khan has the money. Not that I believe he has the money. I know he has the money to buy his way through all of the hiccups that a new business will encounter.
Mm-hmm.
So there, because going away after that brief of an amount of time would be admitting defeat. And how could you go away when you still have all of these contracts that you have to honor? I'm not sure if a guy like Jericho has a guaranteed contract where even if AEW was to go out of business, he still gets paid. I mean, if that's the case, then Tony Khan has really put his, you know, his checkbook on the line. I think they're going to be around for a while. I don't think that they're going to be able to stay as pure to the initial vision as they want to be, especially if they are not winning. Now, I don't know what winning is to them because I don't think that the rating that they draw every week as compared to the rating that NXT draws is going to be the marker. I believe it's going to be what's going to acceptable to TNT. Because, I mean, Dave, what's TNT's highest rated show right now?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you. I guess,
the basketball playoffs.
It's probably, I'm sure the NBA does monster ratings for them. Outside of the NBA, I don't even know what's on TNT.
So I'll compare it. I'll just make a, I'm not comparing product. I'm not comparing companies. I'm just comparing a situation. When TNA was on Spike TV, it was a guaranteed million viewers every week for Spike TV. You know, original programming, 52 weeks, guaranteed a million viewers. Most of the time back then, it was much more than a million. It was as much as 2 million at times. So Spike TV salivated at the you know, the business that they did with TNA because it generated such a great rating. I think that's going to be the same thing with TNT. I think AEW is going to do such a great rating for them that even though it might not be beating NXT, and I said might not, there's a chance that it will, but even if it's not beating NXT, it's going to be doing such a significant rating for the company that it'll be the company, TNT will be happy. Plus the luring of advertisers. And that's a huge thing, is advertisers wanting to invest in buying commercial time during AEW programming on Wednesday nights from 8 to 10.
Yeah, and I agree with what you're saying, Bully, but let's just take TNA for an example, because you're right. They were getting very good ratings, and they were getting over a million people watching that show, and it was the number one show on Spike TV, correct?
Absolutely.
It was
number one. Actually, a million is a bad number to use because TNA was up to 2 million at one time. So TNA fluctuated between the 1.5 and the 2 million for a long, long time.
All right. But perception is reality. So even though they were getting really good ratings, and even though they were drawing a really good live crowd at times, and even though they were the number one show on, at the time, a major cable network in Spike TV, they were still perceived as the B show. They were still perceived as the second show and the second company, and there was a large gap between the WWE and TNA, correct? And at times, a lot of people would call them the poor man's WWE because they had a lot of wrestlers that were from the WWE world that were wrestling for the company. I'm not saying that I was one of those people, but that was the perception of that company, correct?
Absolutely.
All right, so what you're saying is right. Maybe you don't have to beat NXT in the ratings, but you need to have a good rating that's consistent from week to week, and you want to attract advertisers, and you want to have a good live crowd, which I think AEW will do. But I think with the way that this has been built and the anticipation and the momentum going into next week, I think it needs to be more than that, Bully. I really think with everything that we've put into this, there is a bit of a quote-unquote ratings war. I know that myself and probably a lot of fans are going to be looking at that rating each and every week to see if AEW was able to beat NXT or vice versa. I think that's what a lot of fans are going to be doing. And this is a chance, and this is a chance for a show outside of the WWE to beat the WWE because they're going head to head. We haven't had this in a long, long time. So I do think in a lot of ways, I know for me, just for the, and listen, I love NXT. I've said it on this show multiple times that I think NXT is the best show of the week, my favorite pro wrestling show. But I'll be honest with you, next week I'll be watching AEW live. Why? Because for the health of the business, we need AEW to do well.
I agree. I believe I will be watching AEW next week also because you're going to want to see how the brand new company comes out swinging on their brand new station in their brand new time slot. It's just... I don't know why anybody wouldn't be watching AEW. I'm actually encouraging the wrestling world and encouraging people that are listening now to watch AEW next week. Am I saying watch AEW over NXT? No, I'm saying you can watch both, but there's no reason. AEW has given us no reason not to give them a fair shot. From All In up until next Wednesday, I believe that AEW has earned wrestling fans' business and earned wrestling fans' interest. That's why I'm saying give this new company a shot. Watch their product next Wednesday. If you have to DVR NXT, so be it. It's still going to count in the ratings. But let's since NXT moved their chess piece... Mm-hmm. and got a two-week jump on AEW, we were able to watch NXT for 2 weeks, and I think NXT has done a fine job over the past 2 weeks. Last night was a good show also. But we've seen it. We know it. We know what it is. We've seen multiple takeovers, yada, yada. It's time to now sample AEW. And they get my interest next Wednesday night.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156, or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Those guys did one hell of a job. Keith Lee and Dijakovic, big, big men doing some impressive stuff out there. Did everything make complete sense? No, but it was entertaining. That NXT crowd at Full Sail loved it. I found myself completely invested in the match. I wasn't invested in the story. I was invested in the fact that these two big hosses, as JR would say, these two studs, were going out there and doing things that we're, you know, used to seeing from maybe like 205 Live guys. I mean, Keith Lee's moonsault was impressive. The Canadian Destroyer from the top rope was just impressive. Dave, you want to know what I was most impressed with, though?
What's that?
The selling. The facials on both athletes. After Keith Lee did his moonsault and Dijakovic was able to kick out, I loved how Keith Lee sold the disbelief. It was very real. It was very authentic. And then when Keith Lee kicked out of one of Donovan's move, Donovan sold it well. So there was a lot of little things in there that I saw from those guys that didn't involve athletics or spectacular moves that impressed me about their work. And you know, I tweeted about them, and I think they're going to be studs in the future for the WWE. And if I had to really pick one, I would say Keith Lee, because he's not that traditional WWE body type. He's a big, burly dude. Looks like an offensive or defensive lineman, but can move like a 205 Live guy.
And I think both of them showed that. And it was such a different type of a match because it was like a heavyweight championship match, but like you said, almost cruiserweight-like, if that makes any kind of sense. And I love the selling. And the biggest, most impressive thing, if you were watching NXT for the first time, and maybe a lot of our fans didn't get weren't able to watch last week. And, Bully, we took a ton of phone calls last week about people who said that they didn't watch NXT on the network because all they heard was that this was a developmental brand. If you watched that show last night for the first time, and that was the first NXT match that you saw, here's the first show on the show, first match on the show, and that felt like that could have been a main event on a takeover. That could have been a main event on a pay-per-view on the main roster. I loved what I saw in that opening contest last night.
Dave, I can't disagree. I don't know how anybody could. I did hear some chatter out there on Twitter. I think some guys were questioning. I think some of the boys actually were questioning the moves and the kicking out of some moves, which I find interesting. Younger guys questioning the moveset of other younger guys, thus acting like grizzled veterans, I think is very, very funny. I liked it. I think those guys have a tremendous future. Do you like one guy better than the other? Are you a Lee fan? Are you a Dijakovic fan?
I love them both, but I agree with you. I think they both have a tremendous upside. I mean, this is 1A, 1B, in my opinion. But I would probably give the nod to a Keith Lee. And I'm interested because I didn't see what you saw on social media about some of the boys with a little chitter-chatter about this and that. I'm wondering, was any of that chitter-chatter from any wrestlers that may have been on Raw or SmackDown?
Correct.
Because now I'm interested now because we've talked about this, about the war between NXT and AEW. But this is also a little bit maybe of NXT going after Raw and SmackDown as well. And I'm wondering if there's a little bit of jealousy here. Because
what I'll do is try to find the tweet for you and let you know who it's from.
Because I didn't feel that way watching that match. Because watching that match, and Bully, we've been pretty honest about matches that we've seen where, man, that should have been a finish. You know, you shouldn't be kicking out at two on something like that. I didn't really get that feeling from that match last night. And like you said, tremendous job from each wrestler selling every move. So if there was chitter-chatter, I didn't really feel it myself watching the match. Did you?
So let me ask you this. You said that you really didn't see anything that couldn't have been kicked out of. You don't think a Canadian destroyer from the second rope?
I know, Canadian and kicking out at two. But it felt like almost like these were so like super heavyweights that they're able to kick out of something like that.
That's because you've been desensitized.
Or is it buying in? I feel
no, like... No, no, no. No, because let me tell you, there is no reason in hell you could not convince me any other way that it makes psychologically sound sense to kick out of a Canadian destroyer off of the second rope, or actually off the top rope, because Dijakovic sprung from the top when he did it, and Sunset flipped over Lee. So I don't know if it looked like a Canadian destroyer.
It was a super Canadian destroyer.
Yeah, it was a super Canadian destroyer. And that should be kicked out of? No. No freaking way in hell. But we've been so desensitized to the big finishing move that now when it gets kicked out of, it's spectacular and wow and oh. It has nothing to do with buying in. Because if you were truly buying in, that should have been the finish.
All right, so when you watch the match, because I got to be honest, when I was watching it, I felt a little bit differently. When you watched the match last night, were you like, all right, come on now. Like, how are you kicking out on two on that? Did you feel that way, or were you so caught up in the match that, or whether it was desensitized or bought in, did you glance over that, or did you really feel that at the moment when it happened?
The traditional old-school wrestler in me knows it's wrong. But I'm taking into account what wrestling fans like in 2019 and have been liking for a while now. So I allow myself to be entertained by it. I kind of put my professional hat away.
Okay.
And I just allow myself to be immersed and entertained. So instead of me sitting here like, you know, grumpy old man and telling the kids to get off my lawn and learn how to work, I'm sitting here going, bravo, that was great. I really liked it. Because that's what that fan base wants to see. I couldn't sit there and press pause and talk to everybody at Full Sail and try to make them understand why, you know, guys, kicking out of that Canadian destroyer is not psychologically sound. And here are the reasons why. They would tell me, shut up and go away. We don't care. We're enjoying it. We're also living in a generation, Dave. We're living in the microwave generation where, you know, it's instant gratification, instant satisfaction. And because people's attention spans are so small these days, it's all about the move in the moment. It might not be about the story. And Keith Lee and Dijakovic, they're not really characters that have depth, and they're not involved in a story that has depth. What do they have? They have their size, they have their athletic ability, and they have their talent. And that's what I watched last night, and I thought they did a great job.
And see, and that's why, like, I thought that was the proper thing at the proper time, because what you just said, Bully, is 100% correct. If you're tuning into NXT and you're somebody that now you're watching it because it's on the USA cable network, you don't know their personalities. You don't know their characters. You don't know the story. There is no story. So you had to be sold on their athletic ability and their size. And I thought the story that they were able to tell in the ring, because that's all they were going by. They were going to just go to you. And Keith Lee and Dominic went out there last night and said, we're going to show you how athletic we are, and we're going to really sell our size. And I thought they did both of those things, because I think at some point, NXT is going to have to do the other side of it. They're going to have to build stories, and they're going to have to build personalities, and they're going to have to build characters. They haven't been able to do that yet. But at some point, with those 2 hours, and now that it's going to be on 2 hours starting next week, they're going to have to, as you said, Bully, do that other side.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
Let me go back to something that happened in 1987, Bully, and that is perception kind of changed because the WWE made that perception change by the crowds that they wrestled in front of. I'm wondering if that's going to be a factor come Wednesday.
I think it is. So the question that I wanted to ask you is, we've seen the NXT crowd now at Full Sail 2 weeks in a row on USA. Next week, we're going to see the AEW crowd in Washington, which is going to be a considerably larger crowd. If you're one of these people who's going to be flipping back and forth between both shows, perception-wise, which show is going to come off like the bigger show?
AEW.
There's no doubt. So from a perception point of view, let's not talk about the in-ring right now. Let's take the product out of the discussion. Just from the way the arenas are going to look and the perception, who is going to win that part of the war every week?
AEW.
If you're a fair weather fan, if you're just watching the product for the first time, are you more likely to stick on AEW or NXT?
You're going to probably stick to AEW.
Just based on, wow, there's more people here. Wow, it looks cooler. Wow, it looks more traditional. So I'm just wondering how long NXT is going to be able to keep up with the perception when it comes to which is the cooler show. Because I think AEW might look like the slicker show production-wise right now.
I agree. And listen, I'm a hardcore wrestling fan, so I can't wait for the NWA that are going to start their TV tapings at the end of this month in the studio, because it harkens back to studio wrestling that I fell in love with when I first became a fan. But I mentioned to you 1987, because that was a very, very significant year. And the late Mike Graham mentioned this on one of the Roundtable Legends shows that you can find on the WWE Network. And he said that WrestleMania 3 kind of killed off a lot of the territories. Why? Because a lot of the territories, as you know, Bully, was either having studio wrestling or wrestling's in like armories that, you know, maybe held like 500-600 people. But when you saw the WWF product, their weekly shows were in arenas. And then you see WrestleMania 3 in front of 93,000 fans, kind of changes the perception. Because if you're somebody on the outside that's not a hardcore wrestling fan, what is going to draw you? Wrestling in a studio in front of 50 people or wrestling in front of 20,000 fans? You're going to say to yourself,
there's no doubt.
There's no doubt. Now, what we see at Full Sail is not a studio, but what does Full Sail hold? Maybe 500-600 fans?
Whatever it is, the thing that Full Sail has going for it with the fans that are there is that they are loyal and they're passionate. The Full Sail feel is very reminiscent of the ECW arena. So how long will Full Sail be able to keep up that ECW arena feel, you know, every single week for 2 hours?
Well, but the other thing too, and you would agree with this, ECW, if that small, you know, feel of the crowd was the counter of what was going on with WCW and WWF at the time. A lot of hardcore fans got sick of the slick production and got sick of the large crowds. They wanted more of an intimate feel. But right now, I think that's completely the opposite when you look at Wednesday nights, again, for the mainstream fan. I'm not talking about the hardcore fan. I'm talking about the mainstream fan. Because, Bully, when it comes to the 8,000-10,000 seat arenas that AEW is going to be at, those fans are going to be just as loud and rabid as the fans we see at Full Sail, correct?
Apples to apples, they will be. If there are 1,000 people at Full Sail and 1,000 people at AEW, they're going to sound the exact same. Here's where AEW has the advantage. They're going to have about 8,000 more people sounding exactly the same. So if you're watching at home, you're going to be like, holy shit. Look at the size of this place. Look at how into it these people are. Listen to how loud they are. The easiest comparison in the world is going to tell you that this must be the cooler brand.
Now, the other thing, and I remember having this conversation with Hulk Hogan when he was in studio years ago when he was a part of TNA.
Who'd he ever beat?
He actually was talking about the Impact Zone. And he said about the size of the Impact Zone and the amount of fans that were at the Impact Zone. And I said, well, hey, you know, and don't forget, Hulk, I mean, you know, World Class Championship Wrestling was at the Sportatorium each and every week. And that wasn't a big crowd either. But he said something like, hey, you know what? But they paid to be there at, you know, the Sportatorium. Different story with the Impact Zone. Now, I'm not comparing the Impact Zone to Full Sail. Size I am, but not the fan. But they do run into a bit of a problem, though, Bully, because they're going to be at Full Sail each and every week. So, you know, we're used to seeing Izzy and her family at NXT tapings. You're probably going to see a lot of the same faces each and every week at Full Sail. That's not going to be the story with AEW, because each and every week, AEW is going to be in a different city.
AEW is going to have that cool, fresh, new, exciting vibe to it. And I think we're going to see it next week. Listen, I'm sure their TV show is going to look very similar to, you know, All In, All Out, Fighter Fest, Fight for the Fallen, with the production and the look and the feel. And right there, that just on the surface, it's going to be more enticing to people. Now, if you want to get down to the in-ring product, that's a completely different discussion. But you bring, you know, you bring up an interesting point about NXT and the same fans, the same faces. How long can that go on? It happened in Impact with the Impact Zone. The problem with the Impact Zone was you had half the place was filled with legit TNA wrestling fans, and the other half was filled with people who thought they were coming in on to ride the teacups at Universal. They were just shuffled in so the place would look full. The great thing about the, you know, Full Sail is I believe everybody wants to be there. I mean, hell, just go back and watch, you know, Keith Lee and, you know, Donovan Dijakovic from last night. The entire place was on their feet going crazy. They want to be there. But I don't think they're going to win this aspect of the war when it comes to that AEW fan base. That AEW fan base is going to be, they're going to be loaded up and ready to go. You don't think they're going to be loud next Wednesday?
Oh, they're going to be loud.
You don't think they're going to be chanting AEW all night long? You don't think they're going to be on their feet all night long? It's going to be a very fan-friendly, fan-interactive show. And I always, you know, whenever I'm watching wrestling, Dave, I watch the crowd a lot because the crowd will tell the people at home how to react. There could be the best match in the world going on in the middle of the ring. But if you're at home and you're watching and you see everybody in the arena sitting down, you're going to ask yourself, well, why am I so excited? Everybody else is sitting down. That's a very sheep-like mentality, but it still happens with human beings. You'll question why you're so into something if the thousands of people in attendance aren't as into it. I don't think you're getting that with AEW.
Well, when you look...
No,
because when you look at the shows, you look at the matches that you're going to see on AEW and NXT, both top matches on both shows. You look at the crowd's advantage AEW because you're going to have the percent, you're going to have 10,000 fans as opposed to 1,000 fans. When you look at the look and the feel of it, probably advantage AEW. Now, I was talking about mainstream fan. Let me ask you this question, and this is something that we haven't really dived into, and I'm interested to get your take. How many mainstream fans do you think are really going to tune in on Wednesdays? Because this is different than SmackDown on Fox. Is it going to be just a hardcore fan that tunes in on Wednesdays? Or are you possibly going to get that mainstream fan that hasn't either watched in the last 15 years or maybe haven't watched wrestling at all?
I think the mainstream fan that you're describing is going to watch SmackDown on Fox. I don't think the mainstream fan is going to be watching AEW and NXT. I mean, there'll be a small portion, don't get me wrong. I think it's the diehards that are going to be watching NXT and AEW. And this is what I'll use as my point. What was the first NXT rating?
It was over a million.
Okay. How come they didn't do the exact same rating as Raw?
It didn't, because Raw is the flagship show, and there was the perception of a lot of people about NXT that it was a developmental brand.
No, it's because mainstream people, because fair weather fans or average fans or whatever you want to call them, will watch Raw. They weren't tuning into NXT. Who tuned into NXT? The diehard. So 1.2 million people, because you would have to, it would suffice to say that those 1.2 million people that watched NXT week one on USA, that's your diehard, right?
Okay, all right. No, you're right. But let's look at the AEW side of it. Because AEW is tapping into a lot of things that maybe people haven't thought of in 20 years since there was the Monday Night Wars. Is AEW just getting the hardcore fan on Wednesday, or could they possibly get those fans that have been lost over the last decade or two?
I believe that they will get more fans that are morbidly interested to see what's going on in the wrestling business than NXT did, because it's new, it's different. It just looks different. When you see it on a billboard, it looks different. When you see the commercials, it looks different. If you went to go see The Fast and the Furious and you saw the ad for AEW, it's like, wow, what's this? This looks different. This is not the WWE, but that's Chris Jericho and that's Jon Moxley. You know, hey, what is this? I'll check it out. So they definitely have people intrigued, and that's why I think they're going to get more of the fan that may have dropped off over the past 10, 15 years. I know I'm definitively, I'm putting it out there. I am watching AEW next week, for sure. I mean, the very first show I will have on is AEW. Will I flip back and forth? Most likely. Will I definitively tape NXT so I can watch that in its entirety? Absolutely. But I want to see what those first moments of AEW feel like. I want to see if they can grab my attention from the very first second they go on the air. Look at what happened last week with NXT. The show opens with a hard shot of Hunter in a very dark, edgy kind of shot. and he tells you what NXT is, and then he pulls back the curtain. And wow, what a great way to open. It was just enough of Hunter to introduce you to his creation. He's the new mad scientist, and here's my creation. Now I'm interested to see how AEW opens up. I want to see what AEW's Detroit Rock City is. And I'm not necessarily talking about the first match. Dave, you're going to understand this. Before Kiss plays its first note, they set the tone and the vibe in the arena. The house lights go off. There's a hum. There's like a humming sound that plays throughout the arena, and then you hear the booming voice. All right, New York City, you wanted the best. You got the best. They set the tone for before they play the first song. I'm interested to see how AEW is going to set their tone the way NXT set their tone before the very first match is performed.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156, or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Let's go to some breaking news. For the second time today, Alex Metz.
Well, the news keeps coming about WWE Premiere Week next week. As you know, it's the season premiere of Monday Night
Raw.
That's right. Are you aware of that? Last week was the season finale. This is the season premiere. NXT and, of course, SmackDown moving to Fox on Fridays. We have new announced teams for the shows, Dave. Can you take a guess? You know what? I'm just going to tell you. Monday Night Raw, now featuring Vic Joseph, Jerry the King Lawler, and Dio Madden from 205 Live. Wednesdays on NXT will remain the same with Mauro Ranallo, Beth Phoenix, and Nigel McGuinness, who I feel do a fantastic job. And the Raw announced team, currently of Michael Cole, Corey Graves, and Renee Young, will move to Fridays on Fox for SmackDown, though it should be noted, I don't know what this means yet, but it is noted in this press release that Renee Young is listed as a special contributor. Whatever that means.
Interesting. So
Vic Joseph, Dio Madden, and Jerry the King Lawler are your new Raw announced.
Listen, I love Vic Joseph. You know, I've always been a big Dio fan, horns up. And then Hall of Famer, Jerry the King Lawler. But man, I mean, you're moving the A squad to Fox. I think this is another reason why you now have to perceive that SmackDown show on Friday as the A show. And Raw is the B show now, Bully.
I got to tell you, the first thing that pops into my mind is, where's Tom Phillips?
That's right.
I think Tom Phillips does a phenomenal job.
It's an excellent question, because I think Tom Phillips has done an exceptional job on SmackDown.
And I guess I don't know enough about the Dio guy, but the Dio guy feels like a major disconnect. And I'm sure he does a good job. But I don't think he does as good of a job as Tom Phillips, despite the fact that I really don't know who he is, because I know how damn good Tom Phillips is at doing his job.
Yeah, I wonder what's happening to Phillips, where he's gotten reassigned, because he does a great job. That's a loss to me.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe they're using Michael Cole as kind of like a placeholder on Friday nights before Tom eventually takes over. That's the only thing I could think of. Because Dio Madden is in more of an analyst role and not a play-by-play guy.
I've heard for years that Michael's days behind the desk were, you know, he was kind of on the back nine, I think, because he wanted to be. I think Michael was going to move into a role where he was going to oversee all of the announcers. He's the lead announcer and he does oversee all the announcers, but I think it was going to be more a behind the scenes position now. Now, I could be completely off on that, but that's what I've heard over the years. And I think Cole does he's always done a good job. You can't tell me anything about Michael Cole that would ever make me change my mind about the job that he does. Because if you only knew how difficult it was to do the job that Michael Cole did, just on the respect you'd earn for him alone would make you like him.
And Jerry the King Lawler, he's been very outspoken, even on this show, that he was never really a big fan of doing the commentating. And now he's back on Monday Night Raw. So I find that interesting as well.
And he, not a fan of doing commentating. Obviously, him and JR were the greatest tag team commentating duo ever. But now he finds himself with two brand new personalities. It's almost like he's going to have to re-gel with these guys. He's basically starting from scratch with Joseph and the Dio guy, right?
Dio Madden. Yeah, I mean, well, and he's been off the grid for a while.
And do you think Jerry's going to really want to start from scratch? I mean, he's going to do it because the WWE is going to take great care of Jerry Lawler like they always have. But I will reserve judgment on that announced team until I hear them working together. Obviously, I love what I'm seeing on NXT because Mauro is the fucking man. End of story. Okay? Make sure you put that out there today, Alex, that exact tweet, exact quote. And I really like the job that the SmackDown crew is doing. I think Corey Graves is a star.
Yeah. Listen, especially on Wednesdays, that group has chemistry together. Now, the group on Raw, obviously we're not going to know until they start doing it. They're probably going to hit some bumps in the road because they've never been together. You have somebody that's, you know, been from 205 Live now going on to the main stage. You have Jerry the King Lawler who's coming back. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm sure even when we talk about this a year from now, and we talk about the best commentating team, it's going to be hard to beat what we have on Wednesdays.
Yeah, Mauro's so damn good. The job that he's doing with Beth and help me out here, Nigel.
Nigel McGuinness.
They're engaging. I enjoy listening to them. But honestly, Mauro is the star. I mean, and it's not even close. That's not to say that Beth and Nigel are not doing a good job. But Mauro is head and he's above all these other people. Mauro could do, let's just put it this way, Dave. In my opinion, Mauro could call Raw or SmackDown by himself.
Yeah, he could. We could have, he could be, you know, the Gordon Solie, you know, just doing it on his own. What I love about, like, with NXT is that it's got an NFL feel to it. And let me explain. Like, Mauro's the play-by-play guy, and you have two great analysts, like you said, in Beth Phoenix and Nigel McGuinness. But the show starts with who? It starts with Mauro, because he's your lead guy. It's the same thing in the world of the NFL. If you watch an NFL game, the first person you see and starts talking is the play-by-play guy, and then they bring in the color analyst. And I love that with NXT, you have that sports feel to it. And I'm wondering if we're going to get more of that with SmackDown and with Raw. I'm wondering, because we've always said, Bully, that SmackDown's been more of the wrestling show and Raw the variety show. I'm wondering if that dynamic is going to change now that the landscape is going to change for the WWE next week.
Do you want to see a change to that dynamic?
I would love to see SmackDown be more still that wrestling show, and because it's on Fox, have more of the sport competitive feel to it. Now, they said in the past that it was going to be that way, but as we're getting closer, I have a little bit of my doubts. I'm wondering if that's going to now be the variety show and Raw is going to be more of the wrestling show.
You know, when it comes to network television, CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox, of all of those channels, which one do you think is the edgiest and willing to take the most chances?
Fox.
Do you think the WWE will take any chances being on Fox?
I would hope so. I would hope they do. Or are they going to play it safe, knowing that this is family entertainment? And because, you know, I think we have to change the perception that Fox is like The Simpsons and some of, you know, the network shows that other networks wouldn't give the opportunity or chance to. I'm wondering if Fox now is looking at this as family entertainment on Friday nights. And Friday nights is a key because, you know, that Friday nights is almost like a graveyard shift for a lot of TV. But that's also a time where a lot of families watch TV because younger people are not home on a Friday night watching TV. So I think you're going to get a lot of parents watching with their kids for SmackDown.
And if that's the case, you're going to get a safer product. You're going to get a PG product, without a doubt. And maybe now Raw, especially with Paul kind of pulling the strings, hopefully you get a more PG-14 product. And NXT is going to be what NXT is, which is the, you know, the pro wrestling, you know, newer fan base product that gives you more, you know, athleticism than storytelling.
And again, you still have to remember that SmackDown's going to be 2 hours and Raw is 3 hours. So in that case, they're going to have a lot of time to fill with those 3 hours. So as we see on Monday Night Raw, a lot of backstage vignettes, a lot of things that you don't normally see on SmackDown, they're probably going to have to still continue to do that because the show's 3 hours long.
And not only is it 3 hours to fill, but now it's going to be 3 hours with a dedicated roster because of the draft, correct?
The draft is coming up, yep.
So you're going to have to fill 3 hours with a dedicated roster, and Paul is going to want the heavy hitters, but SmackDown is going to get the heavy hitters, yep, because it's on Fox. Very, very interesting to see how this roster shakes down because it's going to have to be split very, very evenly.
Now, I do want to...
Do you bring... This is just hypothetical. Do you bring back a Steve Austin to be a figurehead on a Monday Night Raw because of this situation?
Do you bring back a returning legend to kind of be like, not a GM, but maybe a GM? I don't know. Oh. You know what? I don't think you do. Because the people who watch Raw, I don't think are all of a sudden not going to watch Raw anymore. I think the people who tune into Monday nights are dedicated fans that aren't going to now turn the show off by any stretch. What, Alex?
I think it's also kind of hinging on what happens with the draft. I mean, till we see what these rosters really looks like, I think that's when fans are really going to start to make the decisions about what they're going to prioritize with their viewing schedule. Right?
Here's the problem. You can keep Raw the way it is now with the viewership. SmackDown's going to need a much larger viewership than it was getting on USA. The final episode, this past show, was basically the same it's always been. We're going to have to see a bigger audience tune in to SmackDown on Fridays, which, back to Bully's point, you're going to need the heavy hitters on SmackDown. You're going to need Becky Lynch. You're going to need Brock Lesnar. If Ronda Rousey comes back, they're all going to SmackDown. So the roster on Raw is definitely going to take the hit one way or the other, Bully.
Exactly. And that's why I brought up the Austin idea. Do you have to bring back somebody that's going to keep eyes on Raw? Raw's always going to do their rating. But if you're going to load up SmackDown because of Fox, we got to keep people on Raw. Or what we really have to do is rely on the new creative visions to get the younger talent over. And I, when it comes to that, I have complete faith in what Paul can do. If you told me I had a choice, do you want to bring back Steve Austin or do you want to leave it up to Paul Heyman to see what he can do with the talent on Monday Night Raw? I'd rather leave it up to Paul because I've seen in the past what he can do with younger talent, and I'm seeing now what he can do with the talents that haven't gotten opportunities in the past that I see his fingerprints all over now.
Now, I do want to get back to your question because we're going to have my power rankings coming up in just a couple of minutes. And you talked about Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he says that, you know, in theory, he could have one last match. And the question that you asked is who that match should be. And you brought up Kevin Owens. Here's the deal. If you're stepping into the ring with Stone Cold Steve Austin, you can't be a face. You have to be the heel. And you have to be a heel that is going to be the person that you think is going to be the biggest heel in your company over the next couple of years. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
And you do agree that it needs to be a younger talent, not another returning legend. Agreed?
I can make an argument for both. The only reason I brought up Owens was because of the stunner, but keep going.
If it is going to be somebody that's newer and somebody that's younger and somebody that's a heel, would the right person be Baron Corbin?
I think people would be disgusted by it, but yes, that would be a great, great choice. You know who I would want to see it be?
Who?
I'll let you guess. I'm going to give you one guess. What's the one story that has never been addressed inside of a wrestling ring when it comes to Steve Austin? Or at least I don't think it was ever addressed.
Who's that?
Brock Lesnar.
Stone Cold and Brock Lesnar.
Why did Steve walk out of the WWE 20 years ago?
It's a good, yeah, you're right, because he took his ball and he went home because he didn't want to put Brock Lesnar over.
And there's your real life story. So if I had the pencil, I'm booking Brock Lesnar versus Steve Austin as an attraction match all day long because of the story. It's very simple. If you got Paul Heyman breathing down, if you got Brock Lesnar breathing down Austin's neck, and Paul Heyman is doing the talking for Brock Lesnar, and he's saying to Steve Austin, I'm the guy who found you 30 years ago and brought you into my dangerous alliance. You were my Brock Lesnar before I found Brock Lesnar. And you walked out 20 years ago, not because you didn't want to put him over. It's because you were afraid of Brock Lesnar and what Brock Lesnar would do to the aura and the stigma that Steve Austin had created. How's that, Dave? How's that for a story?
I love the story. I first of all, we got to get Stone Cold back into a ring, and then we're going to have to find out if he did. We could do a whole – honestly, Bully, we could do a whole show on this. We could start the show, who should Stone Cold wrestle, and then they take phone calls for 3 hours. Because honestly, I think everybody would have an opinion on this.
Thanks for listening. Catch us weekdays on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.